Psalm 46. For the director of music of the sons of Korah, according to Alamoth, a song. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her. She will not fall. God will help her at break of day. Nations are in uproar. Kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice. The earth melts. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come and see what the Lord has done, the desolations he has brought on the earth. He makes wars cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. He says, "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress."
Our great God and Heavenly Father, this psalm tells us that when you lift your voice, when you speak, the earth melts. We thank you that your word is so powerful, bringing profound change. And we pray now that you would use this word to renew and transform us. And we pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Well, as you look at the UK and look at the rest of the world, how are you feeling as we head into 2019? How are you feeling as Brexit unfolds or unravels, however you want to look at it at the moment? It's going to be quite a week, isn't it, in politics. Most Sunday mornings I walk down, and on my way down I chat with a couple of delightful gentlemen out getting their papers. They are deeply fearful for the country, for the future of their children and their grandchildren. And my guess is that many like them are fearful. People, I think, are falling out over politics because actually the underlying fear, the fear of being in, the fear of being out, the fear of not exactly knowing where we are at all. You see, we've enjoyed many years of prosperity and peace, yet we do sense our vulnerability. We don't necessarily have a kind of major catastrophe on our hands. War is not imminent. There's no threat of invasion. But history tells us that things can go badly wrong very, very quickly. And we know that although we've had many years of peace and prosperity, we live in an unstable world. And we're not in control. Even at a political level, we have no control. As voters, we have no control. And we're not even a superpower, are we? That's China, USA, Russia, they're the superpower. We know we're just not in control. There's an instability. The world feels unstable. We feel the threats. Our security services tell us it is not a question of if, when it comes to the next major terrorist attack, it's simply a question of when. Our world physically is unstable. Talk to anyone in an earthquake zone or where there are tsunamis. And we know the threat of global warming, of climate change. And then, of course, there are our own personal vulnerabilities. Is 2019 going to be my cancer year? Will I lose a loved one? Will I still have a job? Well, Psalm 46 invites us to face our fears. so that we might live confidently. As we look at this psalm, God invites us to reflect on the instability of our world, the chaos of our world, the dangers of our world, and say verses 7 and 11, look at them, "The Lord Almighty is with us, the God of Jacob is our fortress." It could be "the Lord of armies is with us, the God of Jacob is our fortress." Verse 11, "The Lord Almighty is with us, the God of Jacob is our fortress." This psalm invites us to face up to our fears, to put aside our fears in a very fearful world, and to know that in God we have security and we have a fortress. And He wants you to feel and know that sense of Him being your fortress in the very depth of your being. And He wants you to be able to sing this psalm with joy and with confidence. So we're going to have a look at this psalm that we too may share its confidence and know that we have a God who is a fortress. This psalm falls neatly into three sections. If you have a pen with you, please feel free to just to jot into the Bible to write in here. You'll see in the footnote the little word "selah." It has a certain meaning. It's probably a musical term or a musical kind of interlude term. And there are three selahs here in this psalm marking off the three sections of this psalm. There should be one at the end of verse 3. There should be one at the end of verse 7. And there should be one at the end of verse 11. Three sections, three neat and tidy sections here in this psalm. And we're going to look at each in turn. Firstly, verses 1 to 3. God is our fortress, even though creation collapses. You see, the first verse declares, doesn't it? God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea. The picture here is very, very dramatic and large scale. One of the slightly nervy things about living in various parts of St. Albans are the sinkholes. Some of you probably live close to the sinkhole areas than others. Occasionally, the ground just goes, and a road or a garden disappears. I grew up in a town which was prone to sinkholes. Again, gardens would go, roads would go, the occasional house. It had, the town I grew up in had been undermined. There'd been iron ore mining, and they'd dug around, and of course, occasionally, houses go missing. The sense here, though, is of the whole of the earth like being a sinkhole, the whole foundation going, the whole thing collapsing in. And then it goes on to speak about the mountains going into the sea. There you are in the Lake District, on one of the beautiful mountains there, or in Snowdon, or in Ben Nevis, on one of the Scottish mountains. And it's not just a bit of a landslide down into the lake. It's the mountain, the whole mountain itself going into the sea. And as the verse tells us, the waters covering this. It's a kind of massive decreation of creation going back itself into chaos. And if you know Genesis, you will know that right at the beginning, when creation is brought out of chaos, land and water are separated. And here it is. It's going back. And the psalmist says, even though this happens, we will not fear. Even if there's a total collapse of creation, the whole thing comes crashing down, the psalmist says, we will not fear. I'm assuming here that it means that the psalmist in some way is saying, even if we're caught up in it, if you're standing on the mountain or anywhere near the mountain when it goes into the sea, you go with it. even though this world collapses and we die with it, the psalmist says we have a fortress, we have a rock, we have a refuge. By the way, we just need to get one thing just straight again as we come into this new year. One of the problems here in St. Albans is that we are tempted to believe a variation on the prosperity gospel. The prosperity gospel, which does not thrive here in the UK, thrives, of course, in poorer countries, says that if you believe in Jesus, God will make you rich. It's a sign of blessing. God wants to bless you. Believe in Jesus, come to Christ, and you will be prosperous. Hence the prosperity gospel. Now, no one believes that in St. Albans. Why? Because most of us are prosperous. We don't come looking for that. But we want a gospel. We want a comfort gospel. I'm going to believe in Jesus, and surely that will make me comfortable. That'll help me with my life. It'll help me have a nice, stable family. This psalm. And so we want to come to that and say, God is our refuge. He'll give me comfort. No. God is a refuge here in the sense, even though the whole thing collapses, even though I'm caught up in it, God is our fortress. So what then is this fortress? How can we say God is our refuge, even though the whole thing collapses? I'm not going to fear. Well, let's look at the second section, verses 4-7. God is our fortress. We belong to his city. You see, even though creation may collapse, God has provided a city. Look there in verse 4. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her. She will not fall. God will help her at break of day. The picture here is of the city where there is security and stability. Now, we've all seen, haven't we, disaster movies. Disaster movies where you know there's a disaster over here and you head over here to the place of safety and try and deal with the difficulty. I hadn't realized, actually, until I began to look on the internet yesterday, what a massive genre the disaster movie is. I went to the Wikipedia page and I saw found disaster movies, and there's a whole kind of section here, maybe 30, 40, 50 films, and I thought, my, what, 30, 40, 50 disaster movies? And then I realized that that was just under subsection of aliens. There's a whole raft of disaster movies about aliens. There's a whole raft of disaster movies about animals. Birds, snakes, sharks, the lot. Then you've got the kind of natural disaster movies. Then you've got the killer plants disaster movies. The nuclear war disaster movies. The computer disaster movies. And so on it goes. We love them. It's interesting, actually. There's something we sense is, it's a story that interests us. But one of the common themes is the disaster happens, and for many of the stories, there's a place of safety which doesn't get touched and from which you can make the comeback. Well, in the real world, which is in chaos and vulnerable to disaster, there is a place of security. It is the city of God's. And what is the disaster? Well, we've already seen it's the decreation, it's the chaos of creation. And we see there's another disaster in this second section. It's there in verse 6. The nations are in uproar. Kingdoms fall. Political turmoil. Empires come and empires go. There are wars, there is strife. But here in the middle, there is a city. What is to be celebrated about this city? It has a river which brings joy. I love rivers. I love any river. They fascinate me. Where they go, how they run, what's in them, the speed, what they do to the land. Now, this isn't here a verse for river geeks like me. This is saying, actually, this river brings joy because rivers bring life. You only have life in the ground. You only have life on the earth because water comes. And here, there's life in this city. We learn that God is in the city, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God, the great powerful one, the Most Holy One, dwells in this city. And God is within this city, and she will not fall. She cannot fail. In amidst the chaos, in amidst the rebellion and the instability of creation and politics, there is a city where God dwells and will not fail. And in fact, from that city, he speaks and quells. Nothing that comes against that city can win. It is a stable and secure city which God helps from the start of the day. This verse 7 says, the Lord Almighty is with us, the God of Jacob is our fortress. This city is our fortress, the place of security. Where is this city? What is this city? This city of God. Well, of course, to read the Psalms, you would naturally read it as being Jerusalem, Zion. And at one level, yes. But remember, these Psalms will have been brought together at the exile or after the exile. 587, Jerusalem was to fall. It was a city that would be destroyed. All through the Psalms, and we're getting into a section of Psalms, by the way, which celebrate the city of Zion, we sense that the Psalms are pointing forward to something greater even than Jerusalem. Right back in Psalm 2, where God spoke about his king, he said, I have installed my king on Zion, my holy mountain, the holy city. So the psalmist here is looking to a city that is bigger than Jerusalem. And in fact, Jerusalem was not great on its rivers either. Looking forward to another city where God dwelt, which was secure, which could never be defeated, where his people could have absolute security and stability. What is this city? Well, it's a city that is now, and it is a city that is to come. It's both a city we belong to now through faith in Christ, and it is a city to come. I want to take you to some New Testament references. They are glorious. As an old preacher's rule, you should never do more than one kind of cross-reference. We're going to do three very, very quickly. Will you please come with me first to Hebrews 12, 22. It's on page 1211 of your church Bibles. Hebrews 12. The writer of the Hebrews, of course, is urging the readers to go on in the Lord Jesus Christ. Having left the temple, having left Judaism, embraced Christ, they felt isolated, they felt insignificant. They felt vulnerable. And he writes them, Hebrews 12, 22, but you have come to Mount Zion, the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, You have come to thousands upon thousands of angels in joyful assembly, to the church of the firstborn whose names are written in heaven. You have come to God, the judge of all, to the spirits of the righteous made perfect, to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel. We have come to this city. Looks forward to the heavenly city where Christ is and where we are united with him. Where we have security with God even now. Also looks forward to the city to come. The now not yet of salvation. Come with me to Revelation 21. We belong to the city now, and the Bible also speaks of the city to come. Revelation 21, page 1249 of the Church Bibles. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem coming down out of heaven, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Look, God's dwelling is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away." We belong to a city, and we look forward to a city. One more reference. I think it's deeply edifying. If you turn with me to Philippians 3, page 1180. The Apostle Paul picks up on this language of city. Speaking of believers. But our citizenship, 3:20, Philippians 3:20, but our citizenship is in heaven. And we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control will transform our lowly bodies so that it will be like his glorious body. We belong to the city. We're citizens of heaven now, of that city. And we wait for his return. For the glorious resurrection and the city forever. Our citizenship. We belong to that city. It's why every believer is at least has dual nationality. I have a UK passport. I am on the UK's list, but I'm on another list as well. I have another passport. I belong to another country, to another city, and so do you if you are a believer. And by the way, that is our primary loyalty. That is our primary nationality. We are citizens of Christ's kingdom. And that city will never, coming back to Psalm 46, that city will never be destroyed. That city is a place of peace. That is a place where we enjoy God forever. God is our fortress. We are citizens of the city of God, the secure city, through Jesus Christ, through his death and his resurrection for us. So God is our fortress, even if creation collapses. God is our fortress because we have this city to which we belong through faith in Christ. We belong even now, and our salvation is secure, and we will enjoy that city forever. Thirdly, we see as we come back to the psalm that God is our fortress, and he is the one who is able to quell the nations. He is able to quell the nations. Look again at the psalm from verse 8. Come and see what the Lord has done, the desolations he has brought on the earth. He makes war cease to the ends of the earth. You see, as this psalm looks forward to what God is going to do and the security that we can have because of what he's going to do, this psalm looks back to the desolations that he has brought on the earth and the way that he has brought peace. From time to time, he acts in this dramatic way. And I suspect, and I think there's some kind of little linguistic clues in the psalm, that this might well be pointing back to the crossing of the Red Sea. Remember that great episode from Israel's history when they were in slavery in Egypt. And at the night of the Passover, they were allowed to go out and they were on the run. But Pharaoh changed his mind again and sent his army, his professional army, after them. And it would have been no contest, would it? A professional army with all their chariots against a bunch of runaway slaves. They had just driven their chariots through them and chopped them to bits and brought back the ones they wanted. But what happens? They get to the Red Sea. And God takes the people of Israel through the Red Sea. And through, they get over, and through the night, the Egyptian army chases them, the wheels get stuck, they get into the Red Sea, and what happens at the break of day? The water comes back over the pursuing army. God brings desolation, and he brings peace. And it must have been an extraordinary morning on the beach there at the Red Sea. Quiet. All you could see was the bodies floating down. Peace and desolation as God's enemies are destroyed and God's people are free. And that's the picture here. God is our refuge. He has a city. And there's a sense in which he comes and will bring peace to the earth. There's chaos now. But he is the God who will bring peace and quell the nations. Bring order. Bring justice. So we see that God is our fortress, even though creation collapses. God is our fortress. We belong to the city of God. God is our fortress. He will quell the nations and bring peace. And what is the right response to this? What is the right response? Well, look at verse 10. God speaks. He says to the world, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. In all the chaos, in all of the wars, in all of the instability, in all that humanity is wrestling and striving to do as it gets on with its life, he says, be still and know that I am God. Who is this word addressed to? Well, I think it is addressed to the nations. The nations are in uproar. And it says, listen, stop fighting, stop your striving, stop rebelling, be still, and know that I am God. It's a word to our world. It's a word to St. Albans. It's a word to you and to me. It's a word to your unbelieving neighbor in all of their strivings and rebellion. It is a word to our world. Be still. It's a word to our politicians Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. You will all know that I am God. Be still and recognize it. And by the way, it's one of the most important things we can do, isn't it, as we try and speak about God and to speak the gospel to people, to say, be still. Can't all say it like that. Know that God is God. And that he will be seen to be who he is. And every knee shall bow and every tongue confess when we go to the New Testament that Jesus Christ is Lord. And it is a word to the church. Look at your fears. Recognize your fears in an unstable creation, in an unstable political situation. Be still before him. He is God. He will be exalted. And he is for us. He is our fortress. And we belong in Jesus Christ to his city. And these words then don't cause us to turn in on ourselves and just say, well, that's just great for me. These words encourage us. Well, I've got security in a world of fear. So therefore, I want to work. I want to care. I want to love. I want to speak. I want to act. I want to share Jesus. These words free us up in a world of fear to serve and to speak of our salvation. And as a reminder that in this world, in this chaos, that he is an ever-present help. He helps us. He strengthens us. He keeps us going. Those that belong to his city. And we have something, don't we, to say to our world because of these great truths. Because God is our fortress. Try this in the office tomorrow or at the school gate. When someone says, Brexit, what a week. This is worrying. This is terrible. Try this. Say, because of what I know about God, I need not be afraid. I need not be afraid. Now they may say, of course, well, let's get on with work, and they may ignore your comment. Or they may say, well, maybe you could give me a reason for the hope that you have. Why are you not afraid? It is because God is our fortress. What is our only hope in life and death? What is our only hope in life and death? That we are not our own, but belong to God's. Or the adult version, which I'm sure you're all going to be rushing to learn. What is our only hope in life and death? That we are not our own, but belong body and soul, both in life and death, to God and to our Savior, Jesus Christ. And we could put brackets, and we're members, we're citizens of his city. Let's take a moment of quiet to be still before our God. Father, as we come before you, we recognize that you are our great God. And that you say to the world, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. We pray for our world that it would be still and recognize that you are God. And we pray for us as your church that we will be still and know in the very depths of our beings that we need not be afraid, that we need not fear in the chaos, because you are our fortress. that you are with us to strengthen us, and you will deliver us safely into the new heavens and the new earth. We thank you for the security and the stability we have in you in an unstable world. Write these things onto our hearts and our minds, and give us fresh joy and confidence. And we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Well, Psalm 46 has been very precious down through the ages to God's people. In the 16th century, which was a century of massive turmoil across Europe, Martin Luther wrote a hymn based on this psalm, which we're going to sing. And a number of you may know as well that this phrase here, the city of God, was picked up by Augustine, 4th century, as the Roman Empire was collapsing, knowing that we had a city of God. And there's a little short book of his, if you'd like to read that through, very edifying, reflecting on that great theme. But we're going to sing Luther, or paraphrase of Luther's great hymn now, as we rejoice in the fact that God indeed is our fortress.
Thank you.
Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy, to the only God our Savior be glory, majesty, power, and authority through Jesus Christ our Lord before all ages, now and forevermore. Amen.